Spring into reading this season with the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Spring Reading Guide. In this season's guide, I've handpicked 21 of the best new books and I've organized them across 6 categories. So whether you're looking for a romance novel that will give you a happily ever after, a thrilling mystery to keep you guessing, or an immersive historical fiction book, this guide has a book or 3 or 7 just for you. Now, if 21 books sounds like too much for you, there's a minimalist reads list in the guide, which includes a list of 6 must-read books from across genres. But wait, that's not all. The Spring Reading Guide also includes fun recipes, spring activities, and lifestyle tips. So head on over to springreadingguide.com and download your copy of the guide. That's springreadingguide.com and download your free copy of the 2024 Spring Reading Guide. So download your free copy and discover your next favorite book. Happy reading! Hello, I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle, and you're listening to the Reader's Couch podcast, the show that will help you bridge the gap between living a full and busy life to one where you're reading, learning new things, and having fun. Today on the couch, I'm so excited to welcome author Lottie Hazel to talk about her novel Piglet. In Piglet, we meet an up-and-coming cookbook editor in London, known by her childhood name Piglet. Piglet seems to have it all: a promising career, loyal friends, and a handsome fiancé named Kit, who is from a well-to-do family. However, Kit makes a shocking confession just weeks before their wedding, and it throws Piglet's life upside down, and we see her long-standing trouble with binge eating come up to the surface. And she's also had a falling out with her best friend, Margot. But as her wedding day approaches, we see Piglet ready to confront society's expectations, the lies she told herself, and come to terms with what she truly wants. So Piglet is a novel about societal expectations, self-image, disordered eating, family, friendships, and the lies we tell ourselves. But before we get into the episode, pretty please subscribe to the show if you haven't already, leave the podcast a 5-star rating, and write me a review if you love the show. Now, if you don't know what to write in the review, just give me a 5-star rating and tell me what episodes were your favorites and what genres you'd like me to read and cover more here on the show. So, thanks in advance, and now onto the episode with author Lottie Hazel. Hi readers, welcome again to the Reader's Couch. I'm your host, Victoria Wood, and here on the couch with me to talk about her debut novel, Piglet, is author Lottie Hazel. Hi Lottie, welcome to the Reader's Couch.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yay, I'm so excited to have you here. Really enjoyed Piglet. Can't wait to hear you talk more about it. But before we get into the book, how are you feeling? This is your debut. I think it's really exciting. How are you feeling? What's the experience been like so far?
Well, I'm pleased you feel excited because I feel like a little surreal. I think it's the kind of thing where it's probably going to sink in maybe in a couple of months. And around the summertime, I'll be like, wow, great, that was such a wonderful thing to do. But right now I feel... it's like, is this happening to me? Whoever it's happening to, it's a lovely thing. It just feels very strange to me right now.
Have you been in a bookstore and seen it and just go through that, oh my gosh, that's my book kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah, I've been in a few. My local Waterstones as well has a really beautiful display in the window. And I walk past it and my husband each time is like, it's you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just so weird.
Yeah, that would so be me. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's your book.
Yeah. I'd
probably run in there like, oh my God, she wrote it. And yeah, I'm a bit much. So. But I'm glad. I hope you enjoy the experience and continue to enjoy and bask in this moment. But for all listeners who are not familiar with Piglet, I hope after listening to us today, they'll be like, right, I'm adding this one to my TBR. But tell us about your book. What's your elevator pitch? And what can readers expect when they pick up your novel?
Okay, so I describe Piglet as a story of appetite and aspiration, and it follows a woman who is nicknamed Piglet in the weeks preceding her marriage to her fiancé Kit. And a few days before the wedding's due to take place, Kit reveals this terrible truth that shatters the life that she has really carefully curated for them both. And we follow her in her unraveling and her trying to grapple with this confession. And lots of this emotional processing is happening through the lens of food, which Piglet really sees as central to her character and to other people. And it's how that she kind of places the value on things.
Right, absolutely. Let's start with Piglet in the beginning, before the revelation that essentially shatters her world. Mm-hmm. So she has a good job. She has this new house, you know, everything is just fancy in her kitchen. It's beautiful, great cookware and all that stuff. She makes all these wonderful, delicious meals. She has an amazing, in her eyes anyway, a fiancé who is from a well-to-do family, so to say. Tell us about Piglet, who she is and where she is in her life before the revelation.
Yeah, I think that you summed up really nicely. I think that I describe her as someone who feels like it's all coming together, that she has aspired to be in this, you know, supposedly covetable position with a man that she thinks is worthy of her and a life that looks pleasing to her. So she's working as a cookbook editor in a publishing house, and is due to be married to Kit, whose family, as you alluded to, are wealthy and kind of what you might describe as middle upper class, which for Piglet, coming from a kind of like working class background from the Midlands, is something that's really important to her in her aspirations and trying to detach from that family and from those roots.
Yes. And I remember the references, like her dad would make sometimes, her parents, and they are essentially proud of her to say, mm-hmm. You're doing well and, so proud of you. But she can't receive that. Tell us about her parents and her upbringing to kind of inform why she feels this way.
Mm. I've spoken a lot to readers about her parents and the kind of the sadness and the tenderness that is the class divide in the book, and Piglet's her kind of desire to escape that. But essentially, they're people that come from a world in which Piglet now looks down on, to her, to her detriment, really. Those relationships with her parents really suffer because she struggles to connect with them in a way that she would like to. I don't think that she perceives them as people who are worthy of the same level of her effort as someone like her fiancé or her fiancé's family are.
Right, absolutely. And the fiancé is Kit.
Yes.
He does something, makes a confession about it. And obviously that leads to stress on Piglet. But before we get to, just the stress and what transpires after this confession, tell us about Kit and his family in contrast to Piglet.
I suppose we don't know that much about Kit and his family in the novel. We know the kind of the class contrast of Piglet and her family and a wealth divide. But I suppose it's quite a tightly knitted picture of Kit, his mother, Celia, and his father, Richard. And you get a sense, well, I hope you do, you get a sense of these two people kind of being very accommodating for their son and trying to, yes, accommodate him, I think, is the word that I think fits them best.
I agree, because I felt they were accommodating, not just of him, but also Piglet, more of, oh, now your life will be better because of us, in a way.
Yes. Yeah, and in a way, I think that it's accommodation for Piglet, certainly on their terms. I don't think, not that I think Piglet is pushing against that at all. I think that she's very happy to be kind of assimilated into their family on their terms. But I think, yes, the way they live their life and the way they accept Piglet is very much set out in their own standards.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Also in the book, and I love a good friend in a book, so let me say that I love reading about friends and friendships. So whether they're all good or they've fallen out, I love friends in novels. So Piglet, she has a best friend. They've fallen out. Her name is Margot. And Margot is upset essentially because, well, now Piglet's decide that, well, I'll go on and marry Kit regardless of what was said and what transpired. I don't want to say it. I want people to read it. So in my opinion, for good reason, because I kind of understood her thought process behind that. So tell us about Margot, who is Piglet's friend, and essentially her point of view about the whole situation.
So whose thought process did you understand? Was it Piglet's or Margot's? Who were you sympathizing with there?
I understood Margot's to some degree. I understood Piglet too, but I understood Margot.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point of tension, I think, where Margot pretty much wants more for Piglet. She wants Piglet to want more for herself. She wants her to want better. And I think friendships, I'm also really fascinated with them because they're these wonderful, often really wonderful relationships where they're not tied together by blood like you would be in a family, or contractually like you might be with someone in a marriage or who you shared a home with. They're people that are showing up for you because you have both committed to nurturing this relationship and committing to it. And so I think that when Margot wants more for Piglet and Piglet's shocked by that, I think it's an expression of love. But in that moment, it's kind of not what Piglet wants. Piglet wants to be, I think almost she wants to be like a martyr, and Margot's not having any of it and is quite impatient.
Yes, she's a bit impatient. I'm a bit too. So I'm like, maybe that's why, I kind of...
understood. We get it, yeah.
I for sure understood what Margot's going through. So needless to say, and I know some readers, they'll look at the book, they'll see the name, it's Piglet. They'll see the cover, there's food on it. And I think it's noteworthy to mention that first off, we have cookbook editor. So there's food. It's, again, food on the cover, specifically the American book cover. I haven't seen the UK one. And then there is a narrative of Piglet relapsing into binge eating. And we discover this is something she struggled with since childhood. Now, this is a very sensitive topic. I think, I don't know how you did it, but you managed to balance humor with the seriousness of it all and kind of, I guess, bringing awareness into it. I noticed little notes throughout the book indicating such. Tell me about your decision to essentially revolve this novel around food in the way that you did, and then specifically binge eating.
Yeah, I think for food, for me, the UK cover also has food on. It will surprise no one.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I think food for me is a language all of its own and a real undercurrent that can pull together character, familial relationships, social dynamics, that can structure and underline gender expectations. And I just feel that it is one of the most fruitful themes, sorry, excuse the pun, it's almost impossible to talk about this book without them, to explore while writing. And as a writer, I want to know what a character is having for breakfast in order to really understand who they might be. I think those details are kind of crucial. So that, as a writer, draws me towards writing about food. My the first version of Piglet that I wrote was part of a creative PhD that was looking specifically at food-centric fiction. And Piglet was a kind of creative response to my academic preoccupations, which were mostly around depictions of satisfaction. So that's a kind of practical reason for having such a decisive focus on food. But the binge eating element, I wasn't so interested in labeling it as binge eating or disordered eating. I was kind of more interested in experimenting with a protagonist that wanted to use the body or felt compelled to use the body in a way that felt powerful after a powerless moment. And the way Piglet eats kind of is the manifestation of that. And that's what I was most drawn to exploring, was how she interacts with food in a way that reclaims parts of herself in a way that, whether that's positive or negative for her, it looks at whether she can rebuild herself or rediscover herself through her interactions with food.
Yes, and we see her do that. It also brings her back to her family as well. And that was, that was very interesting to me to read. So needless to say, we see the book carry on to when the big date arrives, the big wedding date comes round, and, you know, we see what Piglet decides to do and how she goes about it. And I think that's a very, I don't want to say pivotal is not the right word, but a very enlightening moment. Yeah, I think I like that better. We see the ending be somewhat of an enlightening moment for Piglet, I feel. Tell me about your decision, because see, I'm trying so hard to talk about this without spoiling it. But
you're doing very well.
So tell me about your decision to kind of end it in a way where we see Piglet questioning what it means, not just to be herself, but also to be a bride. Because again, this book revolves around food. It revolves around the binge eating or disordered eating. But we also see, I felt anyway, just some ideas and notions that we have about what should be, or what is normal, or what is expected. And we kind of see, you know, Piglet really coming to terms with that. So tell me, without spoiling it yourself, about, you know, that ending and that realization, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm so pleased that that came across in your reading, because I think the importance of the quote normal or acceptable or desirable is so crucial to Piglet, the character, and the story, because I think that the majority of the struggle that she has is the question of, can she detach from the notion of what her appearance, how she's perceived. And by the end of the novel, I think there's a possibility that she might manage that. I don't know how successful she is, I think. And also it's interesting for readers to make their own decision about that in the end. But I think that what you're saying, like an enlightenment moment, for me, it feels like a kind of an unclenching, a release, a breath out for her to kind of take a moment and take stock of herself. For maybe the first time in the novel, that she may have the opportunity to look at herself truthfully and be able to really assess who she is, what does she want?
Yes, yes, I can agree with you more. It was a moment to exhale, and I'm like, yes, girl, thank you. I love this for you, essentially. But it will be interesting to see how other readers, like you said, perceive it, for sure. I'm curious, though, because I think I kind of hinted at, I kind of identified with Margot a bit. I love reading about a best friend in a novel anyway. But who is your favorite character in the novel, either to write or discover as you were going along?
My favorite if I wanted one of the characters to be in my corner and there for me, I kind of think that I would like Franny. Like, I love Margot as well, but I think there's something really unjudgmental and funny and frank about Franny that I just think is, I think she'd be a good friend to have. But my favorite person to write, I think, was Darren, who is Franny's boyfriend. And he's such a small character relatively in terms of the real estate he gets on the page. But to play with the character arcs of supporting casts like that, I find really satisfying. And similarly, I enjoyed writing Piglet's dad for the same reason. I feel like sometimes a supporting cast can have such gravitas, and I hope the ability to kind of punch through emotionally, whereas sometimes main characters, we're so consumed with them anyway, we kind of take that for granted. So I like writing those, the supporting cast.
Yay. I love hearing that, because right up there with friends is supporting cast. For me, I love reading friendships and just the dynamics with them, even if it's just a sliver. Love a good supporting cast. And I have to say, yes, shout out to Piglet's dad. I for sure love reading his snippets. So getting into your writing life a little, though, are you working on any other books? I know this is book one. We readers tend to be a bit greedy. I'm very interested in what you're planning to do next.
I am working on another book, and I love readers' greed, like people's appetite to be like, are you writing something else? It's like, well, I better do. I'll get to that. But yes, I am. I'm working on another novel right now, and I'm in the really lovely early stages where I'm allowing myself just to soak in inspiration, which means reading as much as I can, watching as many films that inspire me, and kind of being in a receptive and open mindset, which is nice.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. Would you say you would go in the direction of food again, or you would want to try something different?
I think there'll always be an element of food in my novels, just because I find it to be one of the ways in which I understand characters. I don't think I would do something that is so much in the grips of food.
Right, right. No, I understand. So now that Piglet's out there in the world, it's your debut, it's a first book. I'm always curious with authors, one, not just how they feel, but if they could tell their younger writing self anything, because now it's happened, you have a published book. What would you tell her?
Read more. I just think that reading is the most useful thing for, besides writing, obviously, is the most useful thing for a writer, because in a kind of practical sense, to surround yourself with books that are popular in the market, why are they connecting with readers? Where would you position your book if you had to, you know, pitch it to an agent or a publisher? And it's just such useful information to have. But also from an inspiration standpoint, I just find it to be like fertilizer. Other people's work is magic. And I find it so inspiring. So just read, keep reading in any format as well, audio, ebook, whatever.
Yes, I love that we encourage reading across formats, because, you know, sometimes I get a bit annoyed when people are like, well, if you're not reading a book, are you reading really? You're listening. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that you support reading across formats. So that's great. Speaking of reading, I'd love to get into your reading life as well, because while I'm excited about your new book, Piglet, and I hope more readers will pick up this book, I know they also want to know about your reading life. So share with our listeners the last book or books you finished reading that you'd now recommend.
The last ones I finished. Okay, so I would recommend Paul Murray's The Bee Sting, which I finished most recently, which is a really wonderful multi-generational novel told from several different perspectives that is both kind of like laced with a really great dry humor, but also has a sense of claustrophobia and an impending like sense of doom. But there were two books I started the year off with, which were Tom Lake by Anne Patchett and Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, which were back-to-back five-star reads for me, that I was just so swept away with each of them and in awe of these two magnificent storytellers. I feel like I need to buy large amounts of both books, so when people ask me, I just can give them to people. I feel very strongly about both of them.
I love that. I tend to be that friend. I always try to have 2-3 copies of something I really love, because one, when I tell them about it, especially when they come around, at least I can just give you one instead of giving you my copy, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I can relate to that for sure, wanting to have those extra books. But thinking back to your childhood, what would you say was your favorite childhood book growing up?
I had a very kind of like woodland taste as a child, as I was thinking about this. And I liked Winnie the Pooh, Beatrix Potter. I don't know if you're familiar with Brambley Hedge, which is pretty much, yeah, just like mice eating sandwiches in a hollowed out tree. So anything like that, I absolutely loved.
Oh, I love those outdoorsy books for me. For me, it was The Secret Garden too, because my nan had just a really beautiful garden. And I would just imagine that, you know, it's locked and there's stuff going on in the greenhouse, which sometimes I really didn't like going down. And I made up all sorts of stories in my head, anything outdoorsy. And I love the Bramley Hedge too. So
I was just thinking, that sounds like you have a vivid imagination as a child.
I did. I'm telling you, I made up things about different parts of the house. And, you know, we'd play tennis with my sister and the ball would go in this hedge. And I used to think like there were monsters in the hedge. I promise you, it was wild. It was wild. And always had something to do with nature and the outside world, you know, more than anything else. Always was fascinated with that.
Yeah,
read quite a bit about it, so I think that helped too. But what books are you looking forward to reading in the year ahead? What books are on your TBR?
Oh, so many, but a few that I can't wait to read are the new David Nichols book, which I think is called You Are Here. I love David Nichols as a storyteller. He's a kind of writer where I want to turn the page, but I'm also still really moved by his writing. And I don't feel like the commitment to plot that he has detracts at all from the kind of depth of character and emotion. I just think he's very skilled. Come and Get It by Carly Reed, because I was obsessed with Such a Fun Age, which was her first book. So I'm really looking forward to reading Come and Get It, and I have my fingers crossed that she's written another cracker, which I'm sure she absolutely has. And then Private Rights by Julia Armfield, whose first book, or at least whose last book, was Our Wives Under the Sea. And it was just such a close, tense, creepy novel. And this one sounds kind of equally eerie. So I'm excited to see what she's done in this next book.
Ooh, I'm excited for hers as well. So that's exciting. We also love on this show indie bookstores. So share with our listeners your favourite local indies.
The joy of writing a book, I think, is going to visit local indies. But one that really sticks in my mind as my favourite, I think, is a really wonderful shop called Mr. B's Book Emporium in Bath, which is kind of like part bookshop, part labyrinth, treasure trove, with all sorts of interesting corners and beautiful, quirky areas to go and read a book. And the booksellers have just gorgeous, impeccable taste. And is in Bath, which is just a lovely place to be enjoying literary delights. So yes, that would be my pick.
Yay, amazing. So getting back to your book, Piglet, again, I know you've done your job, you've written it. We've discussed it a bit here as well. But in an ideal world, I guess, what are you hoping readers might think or feel after they've turned the last page? You know, what conversations are you hoping they might have? What things they might be thinking about? What are you hoping for?
I suppose conversation is what I'm hoping for. I hope, and I think we've done a really good job so far of avoiding them, that the kind of main takeaways of the book will be something that people want to discuss with people that they love to discuss books with. And so that really is the energy that I hope people come away with from Piglet, and a feeling that the novel stays with them in some way and maybe evolves in their thinking and in their mind when they think about it, when they discuss it with fellow readers.
Yay, I'm so happy to hear that. This book will for sure make you think. It will have you questioning some of your beliefs of, you know, what is normal, what is perfect, what should be. And yeah, it was quite introspective. It had witty moments as well, just as much as those thought-provoking ones too. I enjoyed it. I hope more readers will pick up this book. And Lottie, thank you so much for coming on the show and speaking with me.
Thank you. An absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to the Reader's Couch podcast. Please subscribe to the show, share it with a friend, and take a few seconds to leave a rating and review. Until next time, stay lounging, stay reading, and whenever you're in doubt, go straight to your local bookstore or library. Thanks again for listening, and happy reading.